This podcast is brought to you in association with Inside Out and PrideNZ.com.
Hi everyone, my name is Alex. I'm going to be facilitating this panel discussion on tactics for self-care and mental health. And as we know, this hui is the theme of this hui is wellness. So this is really hopefully helpful, will be helpful for all of you to hear a little bit about what our panelists have to say on this topic. It's a pretty big reality that a lot of people in our community face mental health issues, and it's not always easy to know how to take care of ourselves and our bodies and our minds. It's easy to forget that we have bodies sometimes. It's easy to neglect our mental health. But on the other hand, there are some really helpful things and practical things that we can teach ourselves and learn and share within our community about what we do find helpful in those times of crises or when we're feeling stressed or anxious or really low. So I thought we'd just start off by introducing ourselves. If you want to share a little bit about your journey, feel free to do so. Maybe something about self-care, what self-care means to you. And I just want to acknowledge that we're all like at very different stages within our experiences of mental health, and we all feel different things at different points, and things come and go. So I just want to acknowledge that. Yeah, do you like to start?
Kia ora tātou, my name is Kyra. I don't know, what else are we saying? Mental health history? I go by Z or they, and I was diagnosed with depression and a few other things like 5 years ago. Yeah.
Kia ora koutou, my name is Kate. I use they, them pronouns. And same, it's Kyra plus anxiety, disassociation, and a bit of mania. It's fun.
I'm Rick Richard, he, him pronouns. I've had moderate to chronic back pain and headaches since I was about 11, 12 years old, and so self-care mentally is very important to me because I already have a lot of the physical pain going on, so it's just about so I'm very focused on managing self-care because of keeping mental, emotional well, because my physicals aren't well most of the time.
Kia ora everyone, my name's Theta, I use they, them pronouns. Just a snippet of my approach to mental health. I do live with chronic pain from an injury over a decade ago, and one of the ways that I have worked with that physical pain and also mental pain living in the patriarchy is through meditation, so I'll probably talk a bit about that.
Hi guys, I'm Jay, I use they, them pronouns. I haven't officially been diagnosed with anything, but I've really struggled with my mental health in general, with like depressive feelings and anxious feelings since I was probably 13 or 14. And I've sort of had a very like up and down journey with that and got some cool tips to help you cope.
Hi, I'm Jared. He, him pronouns. For me, it would probably just be kind of like friendships ending and like relationships ending, but then also like restarting from that as well. And kind of like self-care around that is just, I don't know, just doing what it is for you to be happy. And that's kind of what I'll probably be talking about today.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. So I thought that we could just each of us, we could talk about something that we find really helpful for our mental health and our self-care. So maybe talking about one or two specific things that you have found really helpful to you, and then explain, how that's benefited you and your mental health. Anyone can start. We don't have to go in a particular order.
Well, I find self-care, the definition of the word is really being self-aware and acting accordingly, which is, you can say, oh, crap, I only got 4 hours sleep last night. Okay, but what are you going to do about it? So self-care is then going, I'm going to make sure I get an early night's sleep tonight and try and catch up. So that's like, number one, understand the word is really, acknowledge what might be wrong and just also see how you can try and fix it. So I don't know.
Part of like being proactive. Like,
proactive. Well, yeah. Because that also feels good as well. You can wake up the next morning and go, yeah, I did try and get more sleep tonight.
And that's sometimes hard to do when you're in that state of... When you are feeling down, it's hard to pick yourself up in those situations. But maybe having some reminder, external reminder, that's important, yeah.
I find that one of the things that I've recently realised is really important in terms of self-care and mental health, but also being in a community of young people, but also of queer people, where like lots of different complicated... simultaneous mental health issues exist at once in one person but in multiple people as well, and so when you have that many people potentially struggling all at once, it can become really important to have boundaries, because like I kind of think of it as like you can't bail out a sinking ship with a bucket filled with holes, and sometimes that's what it can feel like when you and the majority of your friends are depressed or anxious or suicidal, and it's really overwhelming and you're trying to pick someone else up while you're not really that okay yourself. And so I think it can make it really important that you kind of are laying out to people where your energy is at, where your capacity is at, and what your limits are in terms of like, if like you're kind of like, okay, I'm out of my depth on this one and I think you need to like find out someone else or someone with more experience or more expertise to take this on because it's too much for me. And that it's okay to do that, even if it is your friends, and like you want to help them, but also there's a limit to what you can give or what you can muster up, as well as like that, like you're maybe not, in the best position to be doing it. And so it's it's definitely like a help your friends thing, but it's also like if helping your friends is actually getting you to a point of absolute burnout, then it's not safe either. So.
And same on the other side, self-care isn't dumping all your problems onto your friends, it's asking, hey, can I dump my problems onto you?
It's are
you
like a real safe balance.
It's a balance of the both. Yeah. Saying, I'm self-caring, you're self-caring. Self-care together.
Kate, did you want to...
I was going to pretty much say, really similar to Kyra, about kind of learning something I've been thinking about a lot lately, is kind of saying no when people come to you asking for help, because I think... especially, I guess, in queer communities and friendships, like, we lean on each other a lot with some quite heavy stuff, and sometimes it's kind of best to say, hey, like, I totally hear what you're feeling right now, and I sympathise and I empathise, but, like, I'm not in a space right now where I can help you with this. How about you talk to this person, or how about you da-da-da, like, and I'll check in with you in the morning, and it's just kind of separating yourself... like, it just kind of keeping yourself safe and supporting others. And I think that goes both ways as well. Like, if you're asking someone for support, like, checking in, like, is this, are you cool if I have a little, we have talk about this thing? Like, is now an okay time? So, yeah, pretty much what you're saying, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to piggyback off what you're saying, Kate, you know, consent, I think, is often looked at in a very, almost like binary way. Is it like, is it, can this certain thing happen in this certain context? Often it's thought about in terms of sex and sexuality, but consent is applicable in every aspect of every relationship from my perspective. And when it comes to mental health, when I do make the choice to check in with the people around me, or, you know, if I'm able to say, hey, friend, you know, are you available to talk to me about this thing? It gives them context to be able to honor themselves and to honor our relationship. I think one of the edges of what we're skirting around right now is that if I love you, then I'm going to give everything and be available constantly. And that a relationship is based on these absolutes of I'm constantly available to meet all of your needs. And that's just not sustainable, I've found, at all. The other thing that I would add to self-care in terms of like lifelong goals is the act and the practice of befriending oneself. And that is something that, because we're all changing beings and because the world is constantly putting things in our way that bring up discomfort, there's no arrival of I've fully befriended myself, I've fully done the work as I've experienced it. But it's the act of building that into one's day, the act of of making that a part of one's life, where I'm going to bring in that self-reflection. I'm going to nurture my self-awareness so that I can, when hopefully in a positive relationship, someone asks me if I'm available, I can actually love them and honor that relationship by saying, I can't, because I love you and I love myself. And this is what, this is how to nurture this relationship. This is how to make it sustainable.
Kind of like adding on to that as well is kind of finding the equal balance between like the people you meet as well. So yes, you can be like down sometimes, and yes, other people can be down, but like, yeah, just kind of finding that balance between you two and just kind of making it seem like it will work in order to be happy as well.
Yeah, some really good points. So much to work with. I think like, as others have said, being nice to yourself is really, really important. Even if like you just start saying nice things about yourself in your head that you don't believe, you would be really surprised how much of a difference that makes. So instead of like, if you make a mistake thinking, oh God, I'm such an idiot, like I've ruined everything, you know, like very quickly you can spiral down that rabbit hole. Sometimes if you see that like start to happen, you can be like, I'm going to try and think a nice thing about myself, even if you don't believe it. Over time, you start thinking in a more kind way about yourself. And also, like, well, just one thing that I find really helpful in, like, my own personal self-care is being hyper-organized, which I know, like, it takes a while to be able to get to that stage where you can, like, sort of plan things in advance. But for me, like, in little steps, what that looks like is making checklists and breaking down big, like, difficult tasks into lots of small, manageable ones, and sort of, like, maybe being like, okay, today I'm going to do this small thing and feel a sense of accomplishment in doing that, because even that might feel like a lot on this day. Or setting aside some time to do, like, oh, an hour a day to do, like, admin and reply to all those emails I don't want to but need to be a student and a volunteer and stuff. Or it might be, like, having a diary and just, like, writing down when you've got commitments so that you don't feel taken by surprise when they actually arrive. Little things to make your life a bit easier, a bit more manageable in the long run, I find really helpful.
I think an important one is love yourself, but tough love is always a little helpful too.
Mm.
Like, yeah. You might not really want to eat those vegetables, but you know they're good for you, right? Like, just a basic example, but it's the same of, you might feel depressed or something and you stay inside a lot, and that's fine to do for, say, a little while to kind of help recoup yourself. But there is a point where maybe it's a good idea just to see one friend. Just to see one friend, just say hi. Or just nag them to come over and say hi to you. But, you know, and it's totally fine to just tiptoe your way out back into social life, but it's important to get that tough love of just do it. Just go do it. Go do it.
Mm.
You need it. You need to say hi to someone. You need a good laugh. Have some jokes with some friends. You know, it's tough love is important, as important as love. I reckon.
Yeah. There's something really poignant about what you just brought up, Richard. A few of us were chatting over lunch about the importance of, like, you folks know what I mean when I mentioned your inner voice, like, or that you maybe hear an inner voice, that there's something inside of, I'll speak for myself. I have, you know, let's see, where do I want to start with this? First of all, patriarchy and colonialism have, I think, disenfranchised and put a lot of pressure around neurodiversity in the room. So for those of you that, like, do hear multiple voices and that, like, have, that identify with that, I want to make sure that what I say is not at all on the edges of shaming you, only that if, as in my personal growth in life, the more that I have listened to myself, the more time that I have spent self-reflecting, the more that I can hear, like, you might think of them like the devil on your shoulder versus the angel, like, who you're going to listen to. The more that I like look into those and do the personal work of being on a mental health journey, the more that I realize there's actually quite a few. There's a multiplicity of attitudes and perspectives that if I listen in, I can hear. And something that was brought up over at the table is the nurturing and loving inner parent.
Inner parent.
And, you know, it's like, tough love, is if it's black and white, could be like, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that. But sometimes an inner parent could be like, this is really important that you do this, and I'm going to sort of hold space for that process. I know for myself, a big part of my mental health journey was grappling with my mother's substance abuse journey, and that being the child of an addict household brought a lot of barriers and things to work with in growing up and growing into myself and developing that. So one of the biggest parts of my mental health journey and recovery is developing an inner loving parent that can say, what, you know, not just like you have to do this way, but someone that can actually nurture myself, you know, in not nurture. Having a perfect parent that met all of my needs throughout my entire life, like I doubt many people in the world get. To be able to have that voice be a part of the sort of symphony that's happening inside me, and to nurture that voice and to you know, offer myself tools to work with that. It's been a very healing experience, and if any of you have questions about that, I can talk to you more after the panel.
Hmm. So if it's a school holidays and your parent voice is going, oh, go to bed, get a good night's sleep, you go, nah, I don't need to. That's fine, you know, generally. But if it's a school night, you know, let the inner parent say, hey, go to bed early, you've got school tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, fine, I'll do it.
So what I'm hearing is that self-care, it is hard work, and it's probably one of the hardest things that we do, because why is it that we're so
it involves hard on so ourselves? Much yeah it involves so much self-criticism.
It does, but it's that fine balance. You need to give yourself room and space, and you need to be easy and kind on yourself, show that self-compassion that we always talk about, but at the same time it does involve a little bit of, even if you're not feeling like doing something kind to yourself, even if you're not believing it, you just sometimes have to just drop the ball and do it anyway, and you'll more than likely feel better afterwards. So just maybe even keeping that thought in the back of your head that if I don't want to do it, as long as I know that I know I'll feel better afterwards, maybe that will
if
be
if you can see the long-term end goal of feeling better afterwards, you go, oh yeah, I did it. Ooh, finally got that out of the way.
Yeah. Another chore.
Another chore.
It shouldn't feel like a chore, but sometimes it does.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's maintenance. It's a chore. It's a maintenance you have to do. You got to brush your teeth, you got to wipe your butt, you got to make sure your head is clean.
Good point. <yeah. laughs>
It's maintenance. It's supposed to be boring and not fun to do, but it is still important.
Yeah, it is. Case.
I just wanted to comment on what you were saying about, like, self-criticism. And I think, like, because I'm kind of all about, like, positive and negative words and associations, and I think sometimes, like, rather than thinking about self-criticism, like, kind of thinking about it as self-reflection. So rather than, like, yeah, rather than, like, you're critiquing the, I don't know, the stuff you're feeling or thinking or doing, it's kind of, like, actually reflecting on it. So it's, like, we're being non-judgmental and we're just kind of assessing it for what it is and thinking, like, why do I feel this? Like, is that actually a real thing I'm feeling? Like, why do I think, and, like, kind of just, like, go, like, looking at things rather than, like, I kind of, like, feel it as, like, a looking out rather than, like, crushing in kind of thing. Mm. I don't know if that makes sense, but it does.
That's a good perspective. Looking at it. Just touching back on more, like, positive, practical things that we like to do, like, Dada, you mentioned meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other sort of tangible things that we can do?
I say laughing with friends. Laughing with friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a good one. I find that one helps me the most. It doesn't matter how sore my back is that day. If my friend makes me says a bad pun or something, oh, it's great. It makes me feel a lot better.
It's a great distraction.
It's a great, yeah.
I think there's something to be said for structure and routine. I know for me, and the times where I've had the best mental health or the longest streaks of feeling positive, it's because I've built in structure to my days and have a way that I'm able to make sure that I'm getting enough sleep and that I'm eating 3 square meals and that I'm attending to my life in ways that are that's relevant.
Mm-hmm. I find that, like, it can be good to have sort of imagined routine or to-do list or, like, whatever, like a plan in place, so that and it can be a really loose plan, like, I don't use that term very specifically, but, like, if you're starting to sort of downward spiral or have burnout, or for me, if I have, like, post-traumatic stress flare up, then I kind of need to take the time to actually acknowledge that this is a hard time, and that maybe when normally, if I'm not struggling with this sort of thing, I will be doing more than just the basics, but, like, sometimes I find that it's important to be like, okay, well, this week's been really hard and I'm just going to acknowledge that. So this week I'm probably going to be a bit of a recluse. I'm going to do my basics. I might not shower as much. And then once I've worked through that, I'm going to like have more energy, be able to kind of open up what I'm able to do. But like having that routine of like, what do I do when I'm really struggling? What's the sort of bare minimum stuff that I can do that'll get me through? And maybe I'm not having the best time, but I'm acknowledging that it's hard, and I'm gonna like spend that week just like surviving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like kind of with that as well, like acknowledging what you're like feeling. Like I, for myself, like I know like you guys like to plan things, but on the other side, like going outdoors and just being like away from everything and just doing yourself, like I love going for walks by myself or just maybe watching a movie by myself. Mm-hmm. Just getting away from everything and just focusing on yourself is kind of the best thing you could do as well.
Yeah. And like going off of that as well, like you have to live with yourself forever. So why that wasn't even so ominous. So like you might as well like be nice to yourself and do nice things for yourself, like by yourself. For example, over like summer I was working full time and was in a different city and missing my family and missing my partner and my friends. And I didn't really have a lot of time to myself. So one day I decided on a Friday to be like, I'm working from home. And just decided to like do a really nice day of things that I enjoyed. So I like went on a big long bike ride, that was like an hour and a half, and then came back and had a nap in the sun, had a shower, took myself out to a fancy lunch and got all dolled up just to like hang out in a restaurant alone and eat oysters and drink wine. And then I went home and like baked and cooked dinner for the people I was living with, and that was like honestly such a nice and beautiful day, and I had such a good time just hanging out by myself. And usually, like, I think a lot of people wouldn't really think of doing things like that for themselves, like just enjoying time in your own company and like doing things that you enjoy that you might not otherwise do. And I think, like, in terms of short-term mental health, like that's quite valuable as well. It's just like treat yourself, yeah, but not in an excessive not way.
A treat is a treat.
A treat is a treat. You need to have money for rent. So.
Yeah, that, like, routine, like, as part of your routine, just eating healthy food and getting good night's sleep, throw into your routine as well, like, socialising with friends on the weekend, and just, or even just scheduling time for yourself. But yeah, the routine's a good one.
Mm-hmm. One other thing, too, about the process of, I love what you shared about taking yourself out for treats, is, you know, When I have those thoughts that creep up in my head, there's a couple things that I do. The ones that are just like, oh, I can't think this, sometimes I will literally just sing them away. I'll be like, la, 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 la. No. But one of the reasons that I do that and that I've developed that practice is because, you know, I really want to be a good friend to myself. And like it was said here is, even though the self, the ego, right, is growing and adapting and changing all the time, I really do want to do right by my life force and by the opportunity that I have here, like being a human being in this world alive right now. And that means, you know, compassion from my Buddhist perspective, you know, compassion isn't, all beings are entitled to compassion, and that does include myself. And, you know, when those thoughts come up is like, would I say this to a friend of mine? Would I look to them in the face and say the things that I think to myself in my dark hours? Like, no way. And if I can treat myself, like I caught myself just the other day, I'm like, wow, I am really a person who is trying to learn right now. You know, it can really be like with that kind of practice to switch it and be like, I, you know, to have again that compassion and rootedness, like I am doing a hard thing. Good job, me. Keep going. I love you. Right? To have that be the central narrative of my life is like, it takes repatterning and you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And it is not a selfish thing to do, right? To put yourself first.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
Being selfish is more taking advantage of others for your own gain.
Yeah.
That's selfish. Self-care is taking advantage of yourself for your own advantage. For your own gain.
A lot of the time we hear the word resilience come up in self-care and getting through getting through life in general. I was wondering whether you think that the term, or like the concept of resilience, or like grit and getting, like, you know, picking yourself back up if you fall over, whether you think that's a helpful thing, whether you think there are other ways that we can sort of think about self-care and looking after ourselves in times of when we're not feeling great.
We were talking about this morning because my high school was very like all about emotional resilience and like getting through the hard times to pass NCEA. That was the focus, and like I think it's really like, until right now, I didn't actually like swap around in my head, but this morning I was saying to Alex, like, oh, you know, I don't really like the idea of resilience. It's like, you know, pushing your feelings to the side, blah, blah, blah. But I was just thinking now that actually, like, the times where I let myself be sick and I let myself have symptoms and I let myself feel what I'm actually feeling, I think that is a form of resilience because, like, that's me being resilient against the illness, is actually giving myself time to be ill and have, like, you know, like, not push it down, because by pushing it down, it's not actually letting it have space to breathe, and you kind of need that to be able to work through stuff. Mm. Mm.
Resilience can certainly be a necessary component sometimes. Like, if you're supporting a family, if you might need to be resilient and just get through that work week. Like, it's sometimes, you know, there are extreme situations, but otherwise...
In terms of, like, mental health?
In terms of mental health, generally. Just talk to somebody.
I think the word resilience to me doesn't necessarily mean being, like, your ability to cope in the moment. I think, what resilience means is being recognising that you're having a hard time, like Kate was saying. And like giving yourself time to like experience that and like get better slowly, and that might mean like taking time off of school or like just deciding that you're not going to reply to those emails right now, or like just doing any number of things. And I think it's not like, because some people might think that like, oh, it's how fast you can recover from this thing, but I don't think it's necessarily that. I think it's just the process of recovering, and that's like looks different for everyone, and it takes different amounts of time. And I think I definitely think like it's an important component of self-care, but not in the way that a lot of people think.
Because I could have been resilient and put up with the bullies at my school, but instead I wanted to kick them in the nuts, so I kicked them in the nuts. They left me alone.
Self-defense.
Yeah, so resilience is sometimes you can go, nah, I'm not going to put up with that.
For me, like, resilience kind of is, it is, like, trying to get back up on your feet, but, like, for me, when I go through things, like, it's not going to take overnight to do things, like, so I just focus on myself, like, even if you have to shut out your friends for quite a while, like, 2 weeks, like, just kind of, yeah, allow yourself to get back up at your own pace, don't, like, rush it, there's nobody telling you to get over things, you just gotta... And go at your own pace. And then...
Yeah, and I think there's strength in like confronting how you're feeling, and like not in like a negative way, but like in recognizing how you're feeling and putting the tiger on the table and having a yell at it. And just like recognizing like this is how I feel, and this is like what it's going to take for me to like not feel like this anymore, or feel a bit better.
Yeah, it's acknowledging, I don't feel that great, and then going, I'll watch a movie, they'll cheer me up. I'll watch a comedy. Mm. It's acting as well as acknowledging, which is, I think, the important part.
I feel like sometimes the way that I've heard resilience be talked about in the sort of mainstream mental health kind of corridor that's around, like with John Kerwin and his ads and stuff, where it sort of feels like resilience is being treated as if it's a substitute for systems that are oppressing people, not actually being changed. And like, I think we all probably are on the same page that like heteronormativity and patriarchy and transphobia and all those sorts of things shouldn't exist. They shouldn't be institutionalised into our mental health care system and our healthcare system. And so like the idea that minorities or whatever word you want to use should take it upon themselves to become so strong that they can deal with this amount of like deprivation and exclusion at an institutional, national and global level is just like ridiculous and like really unfair to like put that onto the people who are being oppressed by those systems. To like, oh, well, you can just advocate for yourself when your doctor's being transphobic or whatever, and it's just like, well, they shouldn't be doing that. And so I feel like it's in like separate from this idea that you should take it all on board yourself and like cope with the conditions. I think it is important that you can kind of have this ability to work through things and to persist and to survive. But I don't think you should have to constantly be the one, at, like as an individual, but as a community, taking on board this crap that's dealt to you, sort of thing. So I guess it's like, I kind of hate that word in the way that it's used, with that idea behind it of that this is your burden and society's not going to change for you, and I think that those systems should change.
I got a deluge of co-workers all coming up to me, oh, you're so brave, you're so brave, when I came out of work. And I don't like being called brave, because I shouldn't have to be brave, right? Like, in this situation, that's not...
It shouldn't be a scary thing to come out.
I don't like being called brave, but all my mum and her friends all call me brave. I'm like, no, you're not. They're all looking at it from a cishet perspective. We're looking at it from the queer perspective. Like, why can't we just be treated
just
equal?
Like, not just like with resilience, with coping with like transphobia or biphobia and stuff, but also this idea that resilience is like, if you're resilient, then you can get back to work, or then you can be in full time employment,
right?
And like, I just don't think that that's for everyone or for anyone. It is our economic system. Like, capitalism is a mess, IMO. I don't think the goal, the way ACC works, where they're trying to push people off of their supported payments or whatever, instead of being like, well, maybe this person needs to not work. Like, maybe that should be what's considered. And so for people with mental illnesses and chronic pain and so on, like, I don't think the bar of success is that they manage to like put up with all their suffering so that they can get into employment. Like, I think it's quite coercive sometimes. This idea that like you'll tough it out, and I don't think people should have to. Like,
Or at least just better navigating like more appropriate jobs.
Like, yeah.
If someone's got a leg injury, well, you can give them a desk job. You know, like it. I'm sure there could be a way around that.
I'm not sure if I should
contributing to society in that.
I mean, yeah, I think contributing to society isn't interesting.
It's like even volunteer work and stuff like that.
Yeah, it can be meaningful. That a lot of people, and I guess I'm speaking for mostly myself, but the way that work and certain education systems are structured is working against you. So stuff like sitting exams or making meetings or doing projects or like these things actually don't work for the individual. They work for the, I guess, the system, whatever system it is.
Yeah,
and I think work is like, I mean, yes, it's a way to move society forward, but like with hashtag socialism, it just kind of feeds into that whole capitalist, like, you are a worker, that is your purpose, like, you exist to work and contribute to society rather than, like, contribute to your own well-being.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just, like, an interesting thing to kind of have to think about.
But it's great. So let's just wrap up. I did want to leave some time just in case anyone else wanted to contribute some of their tactics for mental health and looking after themselves, if you want to share anything or if you also have any questions. So, yeah.
A question. Self-care on a budget, and not just like a money budget, but also like a time budget of like, if your life is really busy with stuff that's like really important for you to do that isn't really nurturing you, but that is making sure you can survive, like, you've got a little bit of spare time, what's your advice on something that's not expensive that you can do to treat yourself, you know?
Take really long bathroom breaks at work. Like, shove your book down your pants, take your phone, talk to your mum, like, do it on your boss's time.
I think also just sleep. I think sleep is such an underrated thing. Like, I find my
like, I definitely know for myself, like, my depression and anxiety are so much lower when I've had, like, a solid 8 or 9 hours sleep, and I think that is something we kind of deprive ourselves of quite a bit, and definitely makes a big difference.
Mm, lack of sleep can prevent the HTP, the 5-HT chemical, from producing in your brain, which is the happiness chemical. So getting good sleep is very helpful towards depression.
It's
hard to do when you're depressed. So it's a bit of a paradox there.
Sorry about that. I say have a dance. Yeah. Any chance you get, turn on your favorite jams and just shake it out. That's my go-to.
Mm. Shake it.
And you do it so well.
We'll just go to, both.
Hey everyone. I just wanted to say, as someone who has struggled with a little cohort of lots of different things for quite a long time now, and is still learning, will never be perfect, it's really important to remember that when you're doing stuff you're not so good, that's also okay. I think we often get stuck in this kind of place where we fall more. Oh God, I've got too much work, or oh God, I've got to get this, oh God, I have to get this much sleep. And actually, sometimes you've got to be a bit frank with self-care. And that's okay too, you know? Like, and I think the problematic thing is sometimes we don't do it quite right for a day, so then we get stuck on going, you didn't do it right, now you're feeling shit, you know, excuse my language. It's all your fault, da da. If you do a bad job, or you have a really crap day or week, whatever, fine, you know? That's cool. We survived it. We've got all the time out ahead of you to keep trying. So I just wanted to.
There's always
tomorrow.
One thing that I've been doing for mostly over a year now is I sat down on originally and I wrote a list of all the things that make me feel better and all the things which didn't make me feel better. And then I wrote it on a spreadsheet. So it's kind of like a to-do list, but not a to-do list in a sense. It's sort of just like me keeping track of both, you know, my how anxious I felt, how depressed I felt, how discouraged I felt, whether I danced or listened to music or messaged a friend or went outside or jumped on my trampoline or, you know, ate a vegetable. that you like to do at the moment. Another one that I got on here is less than 2 hours of video games. It's really positive. And it's not so much about like forcing myself into it, although I keep the entry point really low. So like if I listen to it for a half song, that counts. If I get on my trampoline for a minute, that counts. But because sometimes it's really just that starting it. And then you're like, nah, I'm already there, so I might as well just keep doing it a bit longer, and then actually I feel better. But then I can also look and go, hey, I'm really noticing that, you know, those days when I've got heaps of fits, I had really low scores on nutrition and stuff like that, and like, the days that I really didn't do any of those things, it was pretty bad. So it's kind of like, you know, someone said about that rewiring that relationship, like, well, this is, you know, you can really 100% see what it is that makes me feel better without pressure, without being like, pressuring.
Yeah, I could say
that.
One thing like that really works for me is kind of being aware of the environment in a grateful sense. Like, we have running water. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and that is generally my go-to on my depression days is I'll go get a glass of water specifically to go, this is awesome. and then I'll go to the bathroom and I'll go, this is awesome. Like, just the fact that we have indoor plumbing and our hygiene, it's just, that is awesome. And that can get me through a depression day. Just the mere concept of indoor plumbing. Just get really excited about toilets. Toilets are great for hygiene.
We have quite a few hands up. I'm just aware of the time. How many?
I would say maybe two more,
okay.
Whoever raises the highest.
So one thing that I worked on with myself was in terms of like being a voice, because often I find it's hard to see like what's real and what isn't, and what's like rational thinking about, you know, certain things. So the tool that she gave me, which I can give to other people, is when you first start, you write it down but using like evidence for and against. So for example, if I go to a party and I think that, you know, people think that I'm weird,
I'll get out the table and do evidence for and against, and often I'll find that, you know, the evidence against is, you know, vastly outweighing the for. It's just nice to see it with a tangible way.
Getting things onto a piece of paper or a out of your internal system. Last one.
Well, personally, with the interviews thing, I treat myself like I'm someone else. I don't compare myself to other people. I don't go like, oh, Stella wouldn't spill ice cream on herself. I think, if I were someone else, how would I think them? And I think, what would I think of them? I think you guys are all really empathetic people, so you can probably do this and say, if you fell down the stairs after getting up and getting a certificate, and you find yourself beating yourself up inside, if you saw Stella falling down the stairs after getting her certificate, you would feel empathetic towards her and you'd say, oh my gosh, poor thing. You know, you wouldn't be beating her up and saying, oh, why did she fall down the stairs? So I kind of reverse that thinking and kind of try and think of myself like I would think of someone else doing that thing. Yeah?
That comes back to sort of being your own friend, right? And treating yourself how you would treat others.
Yeah. Be your own friend, be your own parent, be your own lover, I don't know. Yeah. Spend time by yourself, I don't know.
Cool, well, thank you so good much, panelists, and thanks everyone for listening and contributing.